It's 8:06. We're back from O'Brien and Rock 102.
Yeah, temperatures are dropping. It was, I think, 66 when we started this morning. Now it's 60. Temperatures will continue to go down to about 55 degrees. As I just want to take a look at the radar right now and see, because I can't see out the window, whether it's raining, and it might be.
That's good.
That doesn't really clear things up.
But let it be a guesswork for everybody. We have spoken to the president of White Lion Brewing for many, many times, and we have been to the White Lion Wednesdays. We have been waiting eagerly for his brewery to open up at Tower Square, and he is on the phone with us right now. They are brewing beer as we speak. Good morning, Ray. How you doing?
Good morning, my friends. Good morning. Happy Friday.
You too.
Happy Friday to you, but we haven't been to any White Lion Wednesdays this year. Boy, that sucked.
Soon come, my friend. 2021. We'll open it all up again, hopefully.
Well, God, I hope so.
You know, I think most people who know you, and especially since you started White Lion, I think it was like 6 years ago, have to agree that your enthusiasm for getting this thing off the ground and putting it together without your own physical brewery, even if it means you're contracting out to have your beer brewed, it says a lot about the kind of guy you are. I mean, to kind of cheerlead your own brand, to create a brand, to create events in this kind of climate where, you know, it's hard to start a business. I think everyone has to, you know, tip their hat to you, because I think you're doing a tremendous job with it.
No, I truly appreciate that. But, you know, it comes back to all of the support that we received over the years, the city support, community support, support from even you and your team. It's a collective. It's truly embodies it being the city of Springfield's brewery at this point in time, without question.
But, you know, the thing of it is, and Ray, I've gotten to know you pretty good over the last few years, and I can't relate to you because you're a really positive guy, and I have no idea how to relate to that kind of person. But the idea that every time it seems like you turn around, somebody else is ready to kick you. You know, the White Lion Wednesday starts out a couple of years ago. Great event. Along comes the pandemic and puts that away. You're on the verge of opening this place months ago. And again, the same thing. The pandemic just... to be able to work your way through that, though, and continue to be upbeat and looking forward to what is probably going to be a restricted capacity and the inability to have any kind of outdoor dining because, you know, we're coming into the winter months anyway, but yet that doesn't seem to have any effect on you.
We've been fortunate enough. Our business model allows us to continue to serve restaurants and package and liquor stores. So, you know, that makes up a good segment of what we've been doing since day one. So the tap room kitchen element will be in addition to what we've already been accustomed to doing. So, you know, we're very fortunate enough, to your point, that, you know, we weren't in the middle of opening up a tap room kitchen and then having to shut that down. So it's all going to be new to us. We're working within the pandemic. So once we remove ourselves from it, it will be all sunshine and hopefully things will go better than planned.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
This is Ray Berry from White Lion Brewing. I read the Mass Live story yesterday. I'm on your website, and let's talk about what has gone on this week. So basically, the tap room is not technically open, but the brewing part of your business is now online, and you are physically brewing beer, I believe, from according to the story, the first time in 70 years that Springfield has had a full-service brewery. Is that true? Is that accurate?
So, yeah, right after Prohibition, the last brewery shut down, I think that was in the mid to late 1940s, I do have to pay homage and give a shout-out to Rustic Brewing out in Indian Orchard section of the city of Springfield. They have a small nano brewery that they operate out of. So White Lion will definitely unequivocally be a full production brew, package, distribute facility from downtown. And yes, Mike, our legendary brewer, the true lion of us all, is out there churning some beers, and We got a couple of exciting collaborations in the pipeline and a couple retail events that will be coming before the end of the month.
What am I confused, though, with, Ray? Wasn't there a place? I thought there was a place somewhere on Taylor Street. What did you say the name was, Bax?
I think it was like the Pioneer Valley Brew Pub. But I think they were just brewing in their restaurant and not distributing it to stores or package stores or anything like that.
I remember I was there after the fact, and the story that was told to me, they had the tanks there. They were ahead of their time, but they never had an opportunity to get everything up and running. And so it just really never came full circle for them.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I thought I remembered the tanks, and that was why it threw me a little bit.
Yeah.
So how involved is it to take a contracted brewing operation away from one company and relocate it to be your own? Is that just a simple matter of, you know, you had a contract, you waited for it to expire, and then you decided to move? Or is it more involved than that?
No, it's more involved. I mean, the contract brewing aspect is the trade in general is a very friendly trade, meaning we don't have to go through a litany of papers and documents that say, okay, you have to contract at this facility for X amount of time before you can move on. We've contracted at two different facilities over the years, and we've been able to go back and forth as we saw fit or as we needed. So it was just a matter of, you know, dialing in, zeroing in on our location, and then slowly transitioning from Williamsburg down to Springfield. We'll continue to utilize Brewmaster Brewing Services in Williamsburg as, you know, as we see fit if we need extra capacity. So they'll always be one of our partners, but it's now that time, that moment where we take it upon ourselves and move forward from downtown Springfield.
You know, Ray, one of the things I want to ask you, and again, this is Ray Berry from White Lion. One of the things I want to ask you about is a part of your business that I think, you know, maybe a lot of people don't really understand how difficult this really is. The distribution of your brand, you know, I mean, there's major distributors in the region, and they do a great job distributing, you know, all the major brands. But if you go back a couple years and you look at the model that, like, you know, Berkshire Brewing had, where they started to self-distribute their brand, where they themselves were going into restaurants and bars and package stores and getting their beer on tap lines and on shelves. That's a very, very hard thing to do, and you've been able to do that. Tell me about how difficult of a process that is.
Well, a firm believer, first let me just acknowledge Williams Distributing, which is no longer Williams Distributing, but now Quality Beverage. It was Williams Distributing that took us on in the very beginning and allowed the brand to be present in Hamden and Hampshire County. Over the last 2 years, we've pivoted away from them and started to self-distribute on our own locally. You know, I'm a firm believer in community engagement. I'm a firm believer in building those relationships. And, you know, sometimes when you're with a larger house, some of that conversation can get muted or diluted. And so we wanted to take the bull by the horns and go direct to the decision makers, to the owners, to the managers, and get to know them, have them get to know us. And it just creates a better conversation, and it's been able to work for us. We've been able to pivot and now have onboarded a couple small beer brands, breweries in the area, especially due to the pandemic. You know, they wanted to get their beer out to the masses, so we've been able to onboard three or four of those local breweries and help them distribute their product as well.
So far, unlike this season's Fargo, with Chris Rock, you don't have to carry a Tommy gun or a lead filled blackjack to go into a place and have a little talk with a guy.
No, I just go in with a smile. We have a great team. They're very well versed in the trade. They come from the trade. They have their own respective relationships, and you know, they build new relationships. And we just go in with a positive attitude. Listen, we're a small business. A lot of the places that we go in love to support small business. They themselves may be a small business. So it's a win-win for everybody. You know, the more that we push the brand, the more that we bring awareness to the consumer, it benefits them on the back end.
The tap room is in Tower Square where the old Spaghetti Freddy's used to be. How long do you think it's going to be before you start opening up to the public for the taproom?
Well, it won't be 18 years because that's how long that space sat vacant. I think, you know, we're in a position where we're going to announce in the next two and a half weeks our food partner. We're very excited about that. I think that once folks hear who that food partner is, there's just going to be another level of rally and support for our establishment downtown. I would think before the end of November, we're ready to rock and roll. I'm always hesitant, though, to put a firm date out there because it's always been a moving target. Something always pops up, right? So let's just say before the end of 2020, hopefully, fingers crossed, in November, that we'll be ready to rock and roll and open up the doors for folks to come in and enjoy themselves.
Now, is this going to be a street scene kind of deal? You're talking about the Bridge Street side of the building, obviously. And my only knowledge of that over there is some kind of a child care center. Where are you in relation to that?
We are before the child care facility. As a former board member of the YMCA, shout out to them. They're an excellent organization. But we're right before that. We're right at the UMass Bridge Street entrance.
Oh.
And, you know, we had to create that outdoor environment. So we have these roll-up garage doors that create that outdoor optic, you know, when the season's right. Mm-hmm. And so you can enter there's two entrances from the Bridge Street side. There's the main entrance from Main Street. And we kept some of the original facade from Spaghetti Freddy within the mall entrance, and just to pay homage to them. So I think it's going to be a unique optic for people that come in and visit us.
But just to make it clear, you can't come over there, drop your kids off at the childcare place, and then come over your place and drink through the afternoon.
Well, listen, if they want to do that, that's fine. Our doors are open. Every guardian and parent needs to take a break. So if they're going to hang out for a while, we'll definitely feed them and we'll give them whatever they want relative to other types of service. Yes.
There you go.
Are you guys working on any new beers for the opening of the tap room? Would it be new things to try?
Yes. Yeah, we got a couple new beers in the pipeline. We have Mike's chefing up some beers right now. We also have a nice collab with Vitamin C Brewing, a nice little powerhouse out in the eastern part of the state. So he just brewed two new beers. So by the time we have our first retail event in the next two and a half weeks, part of that retail event will be these two new beers, including the collaboration with Vitamin C Brewing.
So if I try to play the role of that positive guy, the optimist for 2021, summer 2021, and pretend that the COVID doesn't exist. Is your plan to go back out there to the park and continue the Wednesday night event?
Yeah, we're going to definitely continue to activate the park. And not only that, we're going to have you guys come in. We're going to have you brew some beer. And
well, you are optimistic.
We're going to name it whatever you deem appropriate. And everyone's going to have a good time. With the Bax and O'Brien beer of 2021.
You be careful what you wish for, Ray. Yeah. That's all I'll say. Be very, very careful. Ray Berry, congratulations. Best of luck. We can't wait for the tap room to open and nicely done.
Appreciate it. This is for the city of Springfield. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
You bet.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Berry from White Lion. It's 8:20 at Rock 102.
The Patriots... There's probably only certain days of the week that they pick up the brush, right?
No, it's every other week that they do it. But, yeah, I think it's every day that they're in a different neighborhood.
Well, I'm sure they'll catch up.
I'm sure Chris Signoli's got a plan. He's got it all figured out.
The brush fire at the landfill that started yesterday filled the area across multiple communities with thick smoke. Residents in the vicinity of the fire were asked to keep their windows closed as firefighters worked to quell the flames. There's no change in air quality. Just close your window.
Yeah, that's all you got
to
do.
Just try not to breathe. Just don't breathe in Agawam.
You know, the thing I wish everybody would do, and even the ones who did do it have stopped now, so it's unlikely to be going backwards, but I remember the days... and it was probably only like 5 years ago, that in Longmeadow, you could just rake or blow your leaves down to the curb, down to the roadside,
mm-hmm.
loose. And they had a machine, a vacuum, machine that would basically just come along and mulch up all those leaves and suck them right off your front lawn. Rather than you having to bag them or put them in piles or take them somewhere yourselves, this was so simple. God, I would love that.
Yeah, but they stopped doing it.
And they got rid of the trucks, I think.
I think you're right. And I don't know of any other community that did it that way.
No. Well, I thought I heard Enfield was doing it for a while. But, man, getting it sucked off the lawn, getting it sucked off the front lawn?
Yes.
That would have been so easy.
Yeah, and anywhere would be perfect. I don't like,
the neighbors didn't complain.
I don't like bagging my yard waste. I don't like doing it.
Bagging them. I don't like putting it in piles. I don't like yard work. I mean, I don't like the fall cleanup is what I meant. I don't mind the lawn mowing. I don't mind the summer stuff, but the fall cleanup.
Even the spring cleanup. If you don't clean up enough leaves in the fall, they're still going to be there in the spring when all the snow melts. Yeah, and that creates even more of a mess.
But didn't you do the story, was it last week or the week before, about using your mower to mulch that stuff up rather than raking?
Yeah. Right.
But it's also a fine coating that they're talking about. It's not a, you know, it's not a 4-inch pile of leaves left all over the yard. That's not what they're talking about.
For a house like mine, I've been looking for one of these cyclone rakes. It's like attaches.
You mentioned that last week.
Yeah, attaches to the back and it mulches up. And I found one on Facebook Marketplace for like half the price of what it was, and it was from Long Middle. So you know it's like, you know, I'm done with this.
Nice.
Yeah, after one day.
Yeah, I'll give it away for half of what I paid for it. And then, of course, it was snatched up very quickly. And
not by you.
No, not by me. The guy said he'd get back to me that night, and of course then the listing was deleted, which means he probably sold it. But at least give me the common courtesy of saying it was sold.
Well, when you talked to him, you didn't offer him like $5 more than what he was asking?
No, he said it was something about no negotiations or whatever, so I just said I'll give you the cash for, you know, I can be over there this afternoon.
But did he say I've already got somebody?
No, he said, I'll let you know tonight. That's what he said.
Are you punching the equipment? What are you doing?
I wasn't touching a thing. The microphone just collapsed all by itself.
Well, interesting.
Where's your engineer?
She's asleep in the closet.
You're talking about the dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you need a second to regroup there, or are you good?
Yeah, actually, I do, because I got to unplug it.
All right, so we'll go into this one.
You know, I got one of them, and I haven't even used it yet, and I really need to fire this up to see if it works. I actually have, left over by the previous owner of the house, one of them push blowers.
Yeah.
I need to start firing that thing up.
Dude, I'm frustrated with you.
Yeah, I know a lot of people.
Because you didn't start any of this stuff, and you got to treat the thing, otherwise the grass line dries out.
I know.
And then you might have to get the fuel line replaced on it. It's a big pain in the ass to do that.
That's kind of why I haven't done it.
Routine maintenance is a good way to keep that equipment moving.
I know, but it's a
scam.
In the 3 years I've had this thing, I have not even attempted to fire it up, and I probably need to.
Routine maintenance is how they get you, Steve.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, except...
You know, if you just do this every 6 months, if I don't do it...
Yeah, but I mean, if it's a matter of, clearing out the fuel lines and, changing plugs and filters and stuff like that, that's probably a good thing, but I just haven't used it yet.
Yes, but it's not. You're not going to be able to use it. Because it's probably been sitting for so long. You've been in that house for what, 2 years now?
Almost three.
Three?
Yeah.
So if it's been...
This is the ironic part of the statement, is I have a piece of equipment that I really should use. I just have never used one, so therefore I have not used it.
But that's why I don't own those kinds of things. It's like the chainsaw a couple of weeks ago when I had the tree come down in my yard. I don't own a chainsaw. What do I need with a chainsaw? Why do I got to buy a chainsaw?
That was your nickname in high school. Chainsaw?
It was, but still, that was only because I was known to not use chainsaws.
Yeah. See, but my nickname in high school was not push blower, so that's a good thing.
Actually, I heard it was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Keep laughing, funny boy.
Mike Pushblower Baxendale.
Stop it.
Hey,
stop
it. Look, it's Pushblower.
Look at him go. Toot, toot.
Beep, beep.
I don't know why he made it. I like how he went back to the R. Kelly reference. That was great. Springfield police are investigating after two people were shot late last night in the city's Lower Liberty Heights neighborhood. Where exactly is that on your body, the Lower Liberty Heights neighborhood?
You don't want to know.
Right below your Upper Liberty Heights.
Springfield police.
You want to keep it far away from your push blower as possible.
Springfield Police Lieutenant Mel Kwiatkowski. Oh, welcome to the news press cycle, Lieutenant Kwiatkowski. I haven't heard that name before.
He's probably just the guy who answered the phone.
He was put on desk duty. Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you want me to do? Just sit by the phone.
Answer the phone. If any of the news organizations call, give them your name.
He said the shooting happened just before midnight near Franklin Liberty Streets. Both of the victims went to the emergency room at Mercy Medical Center, with one of the victims being dropped off and the other driving himself to the hospital. Both were later transferred.
They went in separate cars?
I guess.
From the same shooting?
Yeah. Both were later transferred to Bay State.
This is why people don't carpool anymore.
How come why do they always go to Mercy? Not that Mercy is a bad hospital, but
it's probably closer.
But
they don't know that, and it's closer.
It's a half a mile away.
Yeah, you know, you go where you think you got to be as quickly as you can be there.
Well, don't they have the GPS, the gunshot positioning system, to tell them to bring them off? But Bay State is the trauma place, is the trauma center. So why wouldn't you just go to Bay State?
Because the average person is not that bright, Steve, and they know, well, I've got a hospital right here around the corner. I might as well go there. They don't think that, you know, this is not the trauma center.
Yeah, you're driving yourself. You get shot in the leg, and you're driving yourself to the hospital. It's 5 miles to Mercy, and your distance to empty monitor says 4 miles. What are you going to do then? You going to stop and get gas?
Depends which leg you're shot in. If you're shot in the right leg, you're trying to use that on the gas and the brake. You're going to have a hell of a time.
I mean, if you're
going to go to the closest hospital.
I mean, if you're minding your own business on Stafford Street and you get shot, I'm going to Mercy. Just got to tumble across the parking lot.
Lieutenant Kwiatkowski said both victims are in stable condition at this time.
I still can't understand why they took separate cars from the same shooting.
Well, maybe it was like, hey, let's take two different routes and see which one gets there faster.
I'm probably going to be out faster than you, so I want my car there when I get out.
Well, maybe the meter was expiring and no one had any loose change.
Did you ever do that with somebody with the, you're going to the same place from the exact same, leaving from the exact same location.
Do it all the time.
And I think, hey, you know what? I'll beat them because I know the quicker way. And then you get there and you're like, how the hell did you get here before me?
Oh, I thought you meant like taking separate cars when you're going to the same place from the same place.
That's what I'm saying. But like,
but they beat you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I mean, I will always do that because I don't want to be someone else's hostage. I want my car. They're available to me so that I can leave when I'm ready to leave.
Yeah. I don't like leaving my car behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
I also don't like people who feel like when you're leaving the exact same location, you figure you're going to be there almost around the same time, but then they show up like 45 minutes later. Well, I went to the grocery store and I did this and I went shopping. And I'm like, no, we were supposed to be here when we left the same place.
I had to go by the grocery store anyway, so I figured I'd stop and pick up a few things.
Then why do we bother synchronizing our watches?
Mayor Dominic Sarno on Thursday requested the city's police commissioner to continue cracking down on excessive noise caused by, quote, aftermarket/modified vehicles on Springfield streets. The modified vehicles include cars, motorcycles, and other illegal road vehicles such as dirt bikes. The mayor said he is asking the Springfield Police Commissioner to review the Chapter 90 rules of the road in cooperation with the Mass State Police to address, seize, and cite the loud and excessive noise from these exhaust and muffler systems.
Well, I mean, it's going to start slowing down anyway because it's getting cold, and then eventually the on-street dining is going to be going away. But as someone who did spend a fair amount of time doing outdoor dining this summer downtown, either either at the Fort or at Theodore's. The Fort, I mean, you're still close enough to Main Street where the traffic noise is plenty loud. And on Worthington Street, obviously, because they never closed it to traffic, it was constantly going by. But, yeah, these people, I mean, you know, the Ford Mustang is one thing. I know the new 2020s were made. They made a certain model so that you could make the engine louder because it supposedly was cool, and I guess it got chicks or something. I don't know. But for these other people who make their car exhaust systems a lot louder than they would be otherwise, and then they drive up and down these cavernous downtown streets, it's mind-blowingly loud.
Yeah, but you know,
it's ear-piercing.
Well, when you're talking about the dirt bikes specifically, you know, to me, the issue isn't so much the noise. The issue is that they're driving these things, you know, unsafely down the middle of the road.
And that's the problem. It's a combination now. It's no longer just about dirt bikes. It's about cars that are designed to be louder than normal.
Sure.
It's a combination. And when the cops are going by, the cops basically have a choice. Do I want to go after that dirt bike guy who's doing a wheelie, or do I want to go after that other guy who's got the really loud muffler?
But what about, like, these regular Harley motorcycles that, I mean, what is the deal with that? How are those legal with the exhaust as loud as they are, but you can't have a loud exhaust on a vehicle like that?
I think there's something, and you know, the mayor said it in that thing too. I think there's something about aftermarket stuff. I don't know, Steve. I'm guessing. I really don't know the answer. But I would guess that it's got to be something that if you specifically went out of your way to buy something to design the car to be louder than it was the way you bought it, it's worse. Whereas if you bought it, like even the Harleys, if you bought it that way and that was the factory installed exhaust system on it, I don't know. I really don't know the answer.
Because I've seen the, I've walked, because I live on a main road, and walking down that road and hearing like motorcycles go by, that crap is loud, man. Yeah. It's like,
and what they can do, which I can't do with mine because I don't have a clutch, you know, they press in the clutch and then they can rev the engine. So that's what makes it even sound louder, because as long as the clutch is pressed in, you know, it's not engaged with the moving of the vehicle. They do that when they go under overpasses.
Not to focus on the dirt bike thing, because I think the dirt bike thing is actually a larger problem, but are they adding the dirt bikes into this because they're having a hard time enforcing the reckless endangerment of how they're riding these things, and they're adding like one more opportunity?
Well, no, I think that it's because of like what I said. It's not just dirt bikes anymore that are the problem. Now it's motor vehicles just as well. And it's easier to stop a motor vehicle than it is to stop a motorcycle. That's why you don't see a lot of motorcycles pulled over by cops.
Remember, maybe you did that motorcycle run last year for, what is the name of the charity that's associated with the Ride to Remember? What's the...
Oh, well, it is the Ride to Remember.
No, but then there's a charity that's also associated with it that they raise money for.
They're
you know, making a speech on the thing, and then one of these bikers is leaving early, and he like, and like burns out of the parking lot, and I'm like, oh, nice bike. Sorry about your small penis.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. That was a very snappy comeback.
Well, it was just unnecessary, and it was clearly somebody trying to show off their.
That's what
bike
some bikers
prowess.
Do. It's the same as you go to any of these cruise nights, which, of course, didn't happen this year anyway. But, you go to the one on two nights at the Ludlow Elks. They have signs in the parking lot that say, no burnouts. And yet, they're not talking about people who obviously... Boy, if they tried stopping them...
Hey, man.
Wrong kind of burnout.
Let's go to the bike show.
But when people are leaving their hot, leaving at the end of the show with their hot rods, they're all doing burnouts in the parking lot because it's the cool thing to do.
It's kind of a douchey thing to do.
Tell them that.
I mean, I don't have a problem.
See if you get out of there alive.
People riding motorcycles, but there's always like a level of douchiness to any kind of hobby or
sure
thing. Even people with pickup trucks. when you get, you know, the big giant tires, a loud exhaust, and the big flag saying "Don't tread on me" on the back, and you're
or Trump 2020.
Yeah, get out of my way, you liberal pussy.
By the way, the Ride to Remember actually supports a number of different charities:
right.
The Massachusetts Law Enforcement Memorial Foundation, Christina's House, and also the Massachusetts Fallen Fighter Fire Memorial in Boston.
Right.
Agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or
NAMBLA,
well as local police officers, are investigating a home in the Merrick section of West Springfield. A 22 News crew could see about a dozen ATF agents and West Springfield police officers at a two-family home on Irving Street this morning. Information about the nature of the investigation was not immediately available. The 22 News contacted ATF and West Springfield police for more information, but they're not talking. So there's no other details to that.
Using the cover of the fire to do a raid.
Or maybe that's the place that started the fire.
I'm not sure. ATF might be involved in something like that, but
well, it's a little too early to tell what really started it.
Yeah, it's a dump after all.
Well, most dumps, like remember we heard from the garbage man last hour that it could be the hot ash from the burn plant,
right?
Sure.
Being stuck all over the into the burn pile.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know you'll walk about 40,000 miles by the time you turn age 50? According to a new study, the average person takes about 51,330 steps a week, which works out to a little over 24 miles per week.
I'm sure I'm well above that.
Where are you walking to?
I've had a Stairmaster for over 25 years. Yeah.
So by the time you hit age 50, you've walked more than 40,000 miles in your adult life. That's the equivalent of walking around the entire world two times.
Well, that was I saw a story a few weeks ago of a guy, God bless him. I mean, he was 80 years old. I think he might have even been older than that. And, you know, the title of the news story was Man Walks Around the World. And when you actually, and it was in quotation marks. So when you actually watch the story, he was a heart patient. I think he'd had heart surgery and he needed a walker. And he had this pretty nice walker, you know, the kind you could sit down on if you wanted to take a break. And it also had a water bottle on it as well. And I forget what town he was in, out in Eastern Mass. And basically what he was doing was he was walking every day a certain number of miles and then adding them up. And he clearly went on Google, you know, to find out the mileage of the circumference of the earth. And then he tries to equal that amount and tell people he walked around the planet.
Hmm.
No, you walked around town,
but
for enough miles to equal the right. width of the planet.
Yeah, they got it. There's an app on your phone, the health app that actually serves as kind of like a pedometer, so you know how many steps you take during the day. And they say you want to try to take at least 10,000 steps. I think today I took 4.
Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
I know, but I mean, I've gone to the bathroom.
Well, how many did you do
big
yesterday?
Steps. Yesterday?
Yeah.
I took about 12.
Seven. Yeah. City or highway?
Oh, city. but your mileage may vary.
A legal company studied the data from thousands of personal injury cases to figure out America's clumsiest names. In other words, the names that come up in personal injury claims that most often, which means they're most likely to get hurt. You ready?
Okay.
Top 10 for men. Kyle, Blake, Brian, Ryan, Daniel, Mark, Bob, Samuel, William, and James. I don't know.
What did we call him a few minutes ago? What blower?
Push blower?
Push blower.
Yeah, what about push blower?
That's not on the list. Here, it's right here. And the number one name is Mike Pushblower Bastender. Top names for women are Haley, Taylor, Linda, Barbara, Kimberly, Mary, Angela, Deborah, Gabrielle, and Louise.
They're the ones most likely to be involved in lawsuits.
And Mike Pushblower Bastender.
Yeah. All right, come on. That wouldn't even be on that list.
Yeah, would you?
They're the ones most likely involved in lawsuits?
Yeah, like the people most likely to be injured in a lawsuit. There's no
injured part.
Yeah, there's no scientific connection between these names and how likely they are to slip and fall when you're walking down the street.
But. Do they break it down by like accident versus dismemberment?
No,
that would be an interesting list.
That would.
Who are the most dismembered people you know?
I would say that's a Gil. Gil would be most likely.
Eileen.
Eileen.
Cliff.
Lefty.
Yeah.
I would agree with the Kyle one. I've known lots of Kyles that get into injuries.
Yeah.
Like stupid injuries. I'm surprised Steve isn't on the list because I stupidly injure myself all the time.
You
Same
do.
Here.
I do. With that whole tractor thing. And then
when you got the gonorrhea from the tractor?
Yes.
No, when he practically flipped the thing over.
No, this was going back maybe, I don't know, 12 years ago. It was pouring outside as I go out to the car to come to work here. And it's like really coming down. Like cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Right.
And I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to run right to the car, and I'm going to get in. Well, as I ran to the car, I'm still getting soaked. And as I'm pulling the door of the car open so fast,
right?
Bam! The corner of the door hits me in the side of the head.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
And I had this giant egg. You remember this?
I had this giant
egg on my head
for
3 or 4 days.
Yeah. And we all thought Jen did it to you.
She did.
What a pear-shaped loser.
That's the real story. Yeah. No, but I mean, that's the kind of stupid stuff that happens to me.
Sure. Hey, listen, nobody gets more stupid stuff happening to them than me falling down a flight of stairs last week. I mean, come on. What is that?
Okay, you had admitted that it wasn't a flight of stairs.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a flight, but it wasn't a long flight.
You got a flight,
it was
a landing, and then another small flight. What are you, like six steps in between
That's
the landing?
In my house.
Yeah.
I didn't say I fell in my house.
Well, I wasn't here for that story, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, it was not at home. It was a set of cement steps, and it was probably eight.
Oh, was it like steps. That? Was it like that thing in Sesame Street where like Jim Henson would have like 12 coconut custard pies, and then he'd fall down the flight of stairs?
And you weren't here, but yet you know the story exactly the way it happened.
No, I
ruined those custard pies.
He's the guy. He's the custard pie guy. Mm-hmm. Was it the 10 coconut cream
custard pies? Yeah. And he falls down the steps.
Yeah, and then he would drop the number, right? Wouldn't he drop the number to the next one?
No, I don't think so. I think if it were like 8 pies, all 8 pies were ruined.
I thought it was like that that thing with the Mel Brooks movie where like these 15 and then he drops the tablet.
Ten commandments. Yeah, right.
History of the world, right?
Yes.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today going to be crappy and rainy for today. High of 65 tomorrow. More of the same with a high of 59. It's 63 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel and that's the news on Rock 102. Oh, yeah.
Looking to Jackson O'Brien to Rock 102.
I don't know. It looked like the sun was out a few minutes ago, and now it looks like it's cloudy again. So I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah, that was like an aberration. That was like a little teaser. Just it's the sun's way of saying, don't worry, I'm still back here.
So I saw a story this morning. Actually, there were two stories. These were back-to-back stories on Mass Live that said the town of Everett will not be canceling their trick-or-treating this year. Because of the mental health of children. Mm. They feel the children have undergone enough mental health issues with the schools and the learning at home and the not seeing grandma and grandpa and all that stuff.
And the best way to alleviate that is to pump them full of sugar on a Saturday night.
Exactly. But then the story directly below that was doctors warn trick-or-treating can spread virus. Well... That's not going to affect anyone's mental health.
No, but what's
having
what's,
one headline say, yeah, go ahead and do it, and the very next headline going, you could get the virus.
All right, but we're talking about the town of Everett. How many incidents of positive COVID tests have they had in the town of Everett?
Don't know, but you're talking about a potential super spreader event if you send everybody out trick-or-treating.
Have you been to Everett?
No, I don't even know where it is.
Yeah, well, there ain't a whole lot going on in Everett. Probably a house every 2 miles. There's only 4 miles in the town.
Who's going trick-or-treating
anyway? Yeah, it's only like a handful of kids.
Trick-or-treat by car.
No, listen, I grew up in a town very much like Everett. The only place to go trick-or-treating in a town like that is some other town.
Well, it's like Hamden. It's like all the people who come to Raymond Drive.
Yeah, that's it. There's Raymond. After that, not so much.
No, then you need a car. You need an Uber to take you trick-or-treating.
Yeah, then you hope that somehow your parents bring you down to Allen Street in Springfield, where then you'll finally get some candy.
Yeah, or over to East Longmeadow, where they got even better stuff.
Absolutely.
Don't go to Longmeadow, though. They banned theirs.
It's 8:57 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
It's easy to get your Rock 102 fill anywhere at any time. Just go to rock102.com and stream us. The Rock